Good morning. What a great joy it is to look out and see your smiling faces and welcome each and every one of you as we come together to celebrate God's gifts and blessings. For this truly is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and let us be glad in it, in all that we do and all that we say. May God's presence rest upon us as we celebrate life and worship together.
Please stand for the call to worship. How lovely, Lord, how lovely to worship in this holy place.
How lovely, Lord, how lovely to walk with you in all our places.
How lovely, Lord, how lovely to live as your people on earth.
How lovely, Lord, how lovely to share in the grace.
Please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 580.
Thank you.
Please join me in our opening prayer. God of heavenly hosts, we come before you with songs of praise. As we gather in this earthly sanctuary, we are reminded that your presence is not limited by these walls. Be with us now and always as we call upon your name. Hear our prayers and speak to our souls. Embrace us with the strength of your mighty love, that we may go forth with our faith emboldened and our courage strengthened to do your will. Amen. Please be seated. If you could join me in our responsive reading, Psalm 84 on page 805 of your hymnal. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. O Lord of hosts, my ruler and my God, at your altars even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and bestows favor and honor. Our scripture reading today is from John chapter 6, verses 56 to 69. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." We offer a warm welcome to all who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. As I am sharing our announcement, please complete the form and the red register pad in each pew and pass it to others in your pew, finally returning it toward the center aisle. If you notice that someone who normally sits near you is missing this morning, please give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. You may write any prayer requests on the cards in the attendance folders and place them in the holders at the ends of the pews so that our ushers can bring them to the pastor before the joys and concerns. In our moments of informality, the All Seasons Bazaar is going to be on Saturday, November 3rd this year, and the women are asking for any volunteers, any crafters who can help out with that bazaar. At this time, we are doing the fall cleaning of the pantry in the church, and we are trying to see what all the groups in the church, including Sunday schools, need as far as plates and cups and things, and that is in the gym. And if you have any questions, you can contact Carolyn. Disciple 2 orientation, for those of you that want to continue with that course, is going to be on Thursday, August 30th at 7 o'clock. Also, there is going to be a new women's book study group this fall. The leaders of that, Barb and Carolyn, would like to know how many people are going to be participating in that. So if you could email them if you're interested. The Lay Leadership Committee is looking for volunteers for the committees in the church. And Fish and Chips, the youth group, is going to be starting on September 9th. In the evenings. The times for that are in the bulletin. And today at 2:30 at Westmoreland Mall is the first meeting of district youth, if any of the teens are interested in that. And Diane has an announcement.
It's time for all of the music activities to get restarted for the fall. So I have a couple of invitations. First of all, Thursday night, September 6th, we'll start the chancel choir and cathedral bells practices. And we are in great need of some reinforcements as far as singers or ringers. Sometimes I feel like people don't notice the choir so much until they're not there, and they're not there now. So we need some of you to step forward, if you can give even a portion of your time to be part of our choir to help and lead in worship. Come out on Thursday nights at 7:15. And if you would like to experience handbells, if you can count to about six, and you know your left hand from your right hand, we'll teach you everything else. And that's at 6:15. So if you would please give that some prayerful thought and join us, we'd appreciate it. Secondly, September 9th will be a start off for the Sunday music activities. There will be a brief meeting right after church for anybody, elementary through teenage, who wants to take part in the Sunday music activities at the church. It will be a short meeting because I understand youth group has a big function right after that. We have to get robes and that sort of thing. The actual rehearsals will start the next week on the 16th, beginning at 2 o'clock for the temple bells, 2:45 for chimes, and 3:30 for sunshiners. If there are any 7th through 12th graders out there who'd like to volunteer to sing, I'd really like to resurrect the TAFC. We didn't have it last year. So especially as you younger ones are moving up, please give that some thought too, because we'd love to showcase your talents. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? Okay, may the peace of Christ be with you. Please stand and pass the peace of Christ to your neighbors.
Good morning, and how are you? Did you have a good morning?
Yeah.
Yes? How about I sit down here? Look at your necklace. Who's on that?
The princesses.
The princesses. Are there more than one? There's four.
My favorite is Belle.
Your favorite is, what's her name?
Hannah.
Belle?
Hannah.
Hannah. Anybody on the back? Whoops. No. And were they in a movie? Do you watch them on TV?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Are they special princesses?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they do? Do they help people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do you help people?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Are you a princess?
Mm-hmm.
Of course you are, huh? A beautiful princess in pink today. Yes. And you know, just like those princesses help people, do you think Jesus wants us to help people?
Mm-hmm.
I do too. Every day. And we don't have to be on TV like the princess says. We don't have to be,
Some of the people out there are a little older than we are. Some of them are a little younger than I am. I know some had a birthday recently, but I won't. Well, it was a big birthday. How old are you?
Three.
It was a little more than that, but I won't mention that. What's that?
Why not?
Why not? Well, Penny doesn't want me to tell everybody she was 50 yesterday. Ooh, did I say that out loud? Happy birthday, Penny. See? So from 3 years old all the way up, who's the oldest today? How old are you, Mrs. Springer?
86.
Anybody beat that? Somebody in the back. Holy smokes. Who's more than 86? Rose, how old are you? 87. Do I hear 88? 89? 90, going once. See, it doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. Jesus wants us to help people. And today in the scripture, he talks about, and Paul, about arming ourselves and putting those things on that help us out. So when you wear your princess necklace, you can remember that just as those princesses help people, so can you. So can I. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, for this day, we are thankful. We are thankful for this young lady, this princess, and pray that you will continue to bless her, her moms and her dad, grandmas and grandpas, and everybody that she sees every day. May they see your light in her. May we all allow your light to shine through. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let me get you a bulletin. You going to help me collect with the cups? I'll help you as well. Do you want a yellow one or a green one?
A green one.
A green one. All right. I'll get a green one as well. For the area within the Norwin School District. You can read more about that in your worship folder.
Shepherd King.
best desire. Hallelujah, you are Savior.
Come now to that time in our service when we want to lift up our joys and concerns. If you turn on the back of our worship folder, you will see a listing there of individuals to lift up during the week. Please make these additions. Ruth, continue to pray for her in her recovery from brain surgery. Also for Carol for physical healing. Bobby had knee surgery this past week and is recovering at home. And then please pray for the family, and the friends of Patty, who lost her battle with pancreatic cancer this past week. So we'll want to remember those individuals. Someone also shared with me this morning on the first column, partway down under this month's Angel Arendez. A little child that her obituary was in the newspaper this morning. So we will want to continue to remember her family as well. Let us continue then by uniting our hearts and our spirits as we seek God's presence in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, it is good to be sitting here today with brothers and sisters in Christ. How wonderful it is, and what good news it is to know that we are welcomed into your home with wide open arms. It is good to know, O God, that here we can spend a few moments and seek and feel and experience your presence. We know, O God, that outside these walls, within, as some would say, the world, it can be oh so difficult. Blue skies, a gentle breeze, white clouds. But we know that in the lives of some individuals in some parts of the world, the storms are brewing. There have been those individuals who have lost loved ones this past week. There are those individuals who have had that phone call to say the next few days are critical. There have been those individuals where lives have entered moments of tension with other lives. There are those physical storms that are brewing, where individuals are making preparations. Sometimes, O God, those storms in our daily lives, we can prepare for them, and other times they just catch us from the side. But the good news is that we're never alone, and that you are journeying there with us. walking ahead of us as our leader, walking alongside of us as a friend, and pushing us sometimes from behind as that one that needs to encourage us. Oh God, we pray this day that we also would seek your presence, your Holy Spirit, knowing that your Spirit, O God, is already going ahead of us for those events today and tomorrow in this week to come, so that we can trust in the fact that we're not there alone. And that as ones who have been blessed and anointed by your Spirit, we can claim the name of Jesus Christ and allow his presence to radiate forth from within us to guide us, to direct us. It is our prayer, O God, that we will take the teachings of Christ that we learn in the Scriptures and that we might use them as they can be applied in our daily lives and living. O God, we pray for each family that is represented here this day, their mission and ministry to the world, to the community where they live. We pray for a blessing of your leaders within churches around the world. We pray for the leaders of governments. Oh God, we pray and seek for that time when your kingdom will be ushered in and we will all experience in wonderful ways that peace and presence that is beyond our understanding. Oh God, we ask and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The ushers, please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings. generous God of love and grace, you gave the greatest gift of all when you sent Christ into our midst to rescue us from our rebellion and to teach us the way to your kingdom. When the teaching is hard, there are still many who will turn away. Yet here we are, God of eternity, asking that same question. Where would we go? May you bless and consecrate the gifts given this morning, and may they remind us that our sacrifices can never outshine what you gave us in Jesus. This we ask in his holy name. Amen.
Be seated.
Hear now these words that come to us from the New Testament book of Ephesians, beginning in the 6th chapter with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. May God's blessing be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us today, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for these words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our lives, O God, we look to you. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you would give us comfort and rest. Rest from the activities, O God, of everyday life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our Redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. An individual who served on a committee probably similar to the Board of Ordained Ministries that was evaluating clergy as they were coming in for ordination has these few words. They say the words of one middle-aged candidate stuck in my mind. The candidate said, "I've always been the type of person who likes to have all the bases covered. When I was looking for a college, I said to myself, if I can't get into this one, well, I can get into this one. Later on, I told myself, well, if this career doesn't work out, I can always fall back on this career. Because I want you to know how serious I am about ministry, I'm going to make a confession. The candidate said, for the first time in my life, I do not have any other options in mind. I'm so certain that God wants me to be a minister that I have no plan B." Now, in today's reading from John's Gospel, Peter speaks in the same spirit as that candidate for ministry. As the crowd drifts away, Jesus looks at his disciples and he asks them if they intend to depart to leave also. And surely those 12 disciples faced that question as well. What if Jesus turns out not to be the Messiah? Surely they wondered the risk of following this religious rebel. Maybe they should leave Jesus after all and go back to, well, go back to what? To their fishing nets? Well, they could do that, and sometimes they did. That position, though, would feed their bellies. But what would it do for their souls and their spirits? They could go back to the synagogues, make themselves content with some other rabbi. But after having sat at the feet of Jesus, that might be a little difficult. They could go back to their families, and we're sure that the disciples loved their families, of course, but without that presence of Jesus Christ and his spiritual training, everything just seems to be a little bit hollow. Indeed, without Jesus Christ, life scarcely seems worth living. Without Jesus, nothing seems to be enough. Not even the revolutionary politics of the zealots that were active during Jesus' time, not even the wealth of the tax collectors, not even the inspiring worship of the temples, not even the comforts of honest work and labor and one's family. And so those 12 decided to stay with Jesus. Having committed so much to him, they had no plan B. Matter of fact, Peter, speaking perhaps on behalf of all the disciples, said, "Well, Lord, to whom could we go? You are the one with the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." But how can we know who Jesus is? You see, we can take what theologians call the leap of faith. Christian commitment grows out of beliefs and experiences, not necessarily just facts. It's as risky as a leap in the dark because we might get it wrong. Our faith might be groundless. No wonder the crowds left. We might risk everything on Jesus Christ and then discover that he's not who he claims to be. I remember in the first apartment that Leanna and I lived in right after we were married, one of the neighbor guys, Randy, would come over every once in a while and say, "Oh, David, I had my hour of devotional time. I did the rosary. I prayed to Jesus. I prayed to Buddha. I've done some other thing." And he went through about 6 or 8 different world religions that he had gone through. And I said, "Randy, why are you doing all that?" He said, "I got to cover all the bases, David. I just got to cover all the bases." "Pick one." "But which one do I pick?" "Well, let me tell you. You see, as Christians, we must take that leap of faith. Make that wild, blind leap. As disciples, we must, as the saying goes, put all of our eggs in one basket. We do not hedge our bets. We do not cover all the bases. When it comes to Jesus Christ, we don't have a plan B. We lay everything on the line with Jesus Christ. Ephesians talks about putting on the whole armor. Looking at John's gospel reading in Ephesians, we are reminded of that saying that someone made famous, kind of about walking the talk and talking the walk. It's been the discussion in the scriptures for today. Will it be walked or will we turn away from it? You see, living one's life as a Christian is indeed serious business. It's a serious struggle, comparable in the book of Ephesians as waging warfare. The imagery of Ephesians is bold and powerful. The Christian is portrayed as putting on the gear of warfare worn by soldiers. The image of a soldier is commonplace in days gone by for us, but that image was oh so powerful for those first century Christians. The images, though, were not only drawn from common everyday experience, they were also firmly and deeply entrenched in the Old Testament, where God is similarly clothed. I got the word this time. You see, closely associated with the image of Yahweh, of God, is the divine warrior. And so given this background, we can take quite literally the statement, put on the whole armor of God. We are asked to put on the very armor that God wears. What's striking about these individual pieces of armor is that they symbolize the qualities of God. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, God's words. And the challenge for us then is that we are to embody these realities, these attributes that God uses to achieve the divine purpose within the world. God has offered to each and every one of us an incredibly extreme power, a God-given power. It's always interesting, at least your first couple months in a new congregation, to stand and look out over those that have come for worship. Oh, I remember that family. That face is familiar. Don't remember them before. Oh, I think I met them in the store. Perhaps they look familiar because I saw them in the church directory as I was looking through it. So today, as I look out and see many, many familiar faces, I can say this. You are a member of a church. Then at some point in time, I can almost guarantee that part of the membership vows of that particular church or denomination or faith, you publicly professed your belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And at that moment then, were marked as a Christian. And so I can say that we are all being challenged by God to suit up. Called to live a life that is firmly grounded in the truth. Not only in the truth of Jesus Christ, but also of being truthful in everything that we do and say. We're called to live a life that is righteous, a life that is based upon the teachings and the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, to be holy, a living and loving example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the world. We are called to live a life that is filled with peace. Someone said to me after the first service, "Holy smokes, David, with all that military stuff, I feel like I need to go out and punch somebody." We're called to live a life of peace. Almighty God has offered to us and given to us that peace that passes our understanding. To live in peace, to push for peace. For peace in all of our surroundings and our places of work and play within the world, and to sow those seeds of peace as well. We are to have faith. Faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, faith in Jesus Christ, faith in Almighty God, to have our feet firmly planted in the soils of faith that become rooted firmly within the scriptures and the teachings, so that no matter what the world, society comes our way, we know
that we are deeply rooted in the power and the presence of Almighty God, and that we are not going to cave in nor get washed away. A faith that allows us to believe in the shadow of a doubt that God is near and caring for us and cradling each and every one of us in loving and caring arms. You see, from the moment that we have said yes to the grace, the forgiveness, and the power of Jesus Christ, we then have experienced salvation. Life is never the same from that point on. We're called to share in this joy of our salvation with those around us, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, hold true to the Word of God, and use the Word of God as our teacher and example for the living and the ordering of our daily lives within this world. The armor of God, the suit of God, is waiting for each and every one of us to claim and to put on. As we then are sent forth out into the world to be the light of Christ, to live and to share his good news. Let us pray. Lord God, for this day we give you thanks. For these teachings within John's Gospel, the letter to the Ephesians. O God, all that we are and all that we have, we pray that we will continually rely upon you and all of those things that you offer to us, that we might have the tools to be equipped for our daily lives and living. Send us forth into the world, O God, that we might be your church, your disciples, living and sharing and proclaiming this good news. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn together.
Thank you.
Our gracious and loving God, may your holy presence rest upon each and every one of us, arming us, fueling us, educating us, that your presence might rest upon us within us, that the light of Christ might shine forth, that as we go into the world, others might experience his love, his presence, his peace, his good news. Send us forth, O God, out into the world, for we go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.